You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you're going to have a great day. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and you know it has to be done, you will get it done. That's right. You don't procrastinate. You don't put it off. You always get it done. And you do it safely. You always mask up. You keep your distance. You keep your hands clean. You keep your environment safe. You keep, I'm telling you, it must be done. It will be done and it will be safe. Appreciate that. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain Time, and 8 to 10 Pacific Time, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Hit the drop down, and there will be African Perspectives. Click that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, our lineup is on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, once again, this program from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening on Fridays. Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9, right here on Time for an Awakening. On Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. It's Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. And they have some great products, brothers and sisters. Please go online. Make shopping with American African-owned businesses a priority this year. Try your best. When there's pop-up bazaars and other stuff going around your city, participate. Go check it out. Okay? We need to support each other. And you know it. If you listen to this program, I know you know it. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tahimba will be my guest on Friday. The videos are up from the
Tanzanian tour. So you go to, for pictures, you go to facebook.com/Bomadi. For videos, youtube.com/Bomadi2007. I've seen some of them. They've been on the safari. And I mean, there's just so much more. There's so much more, as I talked to him the other day, that he's still downloading. Probably won't even have it all done when we talk on Friday, but maybe so. But there it is, brothers and sisters, Africa for the Africans. And everything you need on AfricanForTheAfricans.org is there for you to make a trip of a lifetime, all information. And, of course, he has a trip coming up December 24th through January 5th. Every price is $3,700. And then Senegal and Gambia, April 2nd through the 12th. Then to Ghana again, May 24th to June 4th. And then the Tanzanian trip, going to Tanzania, November 18th through the 29th. And I definitely plan to be on that trip, and I hope that you can go with us to Tanzania. Rinoka Rashidi, my good brother, Dr. Rinoka Rashidi, his trip that was planned for Uganda and Rwanda. And that's another trip I wanted to like to go on. Wish I had the money. Got the time. Got plenty of time. Ain't got no money. But that's going to be October 5th through the 16th. October 5th through the 16th, 2021. And, of course, he's going to Kemet August 1st through the 14th, 2021, going to Kemet. So, Baba Rinoka Rashidi, and you can give Brother Rinoka a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. And, of course, you can contact him on his website, and that's drrinoko.com, drrinoko.com. Habesha Incorporated.org. The brothers and sisters at HabeshaIncorporated.org are doing the work and deserve to be supported. The work they're doing here in the Atlanta area and other areas of the country, and, of course, the work they're doing in Ghana with the Kashi Project, making a village that will be self-sustaining with sustainable agriculture and entrepreneurship. Unbelievable. Deserves to be supported. That is HabeshaIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group, and of course, they deal with food, water, clothing, and shelter, the basics that you need. And they have about 12 active projects. They're in six countries, you know. They employ about 172 people, and they have over 160 members, and they need more. They need more support. That's the LEDGE Group. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar in the West End here in Atlanta. You know, reason why I promote Wadada's, number one, I like them. And I like what the sister has done with that space over the period of time. You know, it's unfortunate that our venture did not work where we were. You know, obviously being right on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in that area is a good location, you know, a lot of activity. And so I'm really happy for them, and I support Wadada's. And at one time they had a number of other vendors in there, and they still do a number of things aside from just the, you know, the food, the soups, and the pastries that they have. And the smoothies and the juices. So Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End. And the number to call is 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Once again, I'm promoting for you to buy your gifts, your holiday gifts, your Kwanzaa gifts, from American African owned businesses. And the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall has books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines. They have it for you. Go see Mama Nia or give her a call to find out if you're looking for something specific or there's a book that you want. 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center. I got to get that because the Black Dot is helping, is having a program too coming up. So I got to get that. I'll definitely have that for you by Friday. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, Brother Gazimde Ajamu, my good friend. Give them a call. They have a bazaar coming up with things, you know, clothing, artwork, all kinds of good stuff for sale in Lithonia. Give them a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. There's light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Brothers and sisters, we must pull our resources. We must do for ourselves. It is a message that I will continue to harp on and broadcast because it is vitally important. We must do for ourselves. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Go to online, go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. If you want to call just to listen, you can do that. If you want to call to make questions, comments, or concerns, you press 1 and you'll be put into the mix. And that is at 929-477-2789. That is 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sister Gabrielle Urelia with the Sanjay Dash Haiti Project in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And that's close to getting to the border, I believe. To the border with the Dominican Republic. You know, man, F the Dominican Republic. You know, when they came out with that, and I've been to the Dominican Republic, you know, many years ago. But when they came out with that, and it's just, I mean, they are already color conscious. They was just real, you know. But anyway, Sanjay-i80.org. Brothers and sisters, go online, check out what Sister Gabby is doing in Haiti with our children, education, the beautiful children, their uniforms and so forth, the classrooms, everything looks nice and clean and organized. The health program that they have to make sure the children are healthy, the people in those villages in that area are healthy, the agriculture, the sustainable agriculture that they're doing, entrepreneurship, selling the chickens and the dried fruits and so forth. So check it out, brothers and sisters. Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Ackerman Institute. Ackerman Institute, brothers and sisters, Mama Nia, excuse me, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti, once again, they're doing an outstanding job of educating our young warriors, and they deserve to be supported. I understand, talking with Mama Ya a week or so ago, that they have a lot more students, and they have students out of the country. I think they have some students in Ghana and other parts too. So Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. You can use PayPal and Cash App. On the Cash App, the dollar sign YAYAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI, and make an ongoing contribution. Also, too, Mama Ya's program tomorrow. That's right, tomorrow, December 10th. Give the warning, some will survive. African Warrior Women's Day online celebration. Give the warning, some will survive. That is tomorrow from 7 to 9, from 7 to 9:30. Donation is $10 and $5 for the teens. Okay, and here's the link. Here's the link. Make your $10 donation and via PayPal, yabarudi@yahoo.com, or Cash App, the $ YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI. Include the pertinent information, of course, which is African Warrior Women's Day, and then your name, and then your email address so you can receive the link for the program tomorrow, African Warrior Women's Day celebration. Okay? All right. We got that down. All right. Also, too, the Shrine of the Black Madonna, once again, announced that, located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy, down the street from Odada's and Soul Veg in that area. They have, they're open on Friday and Saturday, from 1 to 7. And that's strictly to buy the, you know, the Kwanzaa kits they have, books, all the other stuff, you know, the business end of it, of the Shrine of the Black Madonna. It is open on Friday and Saturdays. Located in the West End, I'm Ralph David Abernathy. All right, Okay, let me see where I, where am I at? Over here, Okay, the Nyesasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Nyesasim. December 8th, any American African human being able to survive the horrendous evil circumstances in which one inevitably finds oneself trapped must be some kind of giant with a great and particular abilities, with an armor as resistance as steel, yet made of purest gold. Sister Abby Lincoln. Nothing But a Man, starring Abby Lincoln and Ivan Dixon, is the story of Africans surviving this reality. It details the intensity with which the fragile, frightened psychosis of the European mind works to break African spirits to the point of voluntary vanquishment. Those of us who survive this madness with our man and womanhood intact are the greatest threat to the survival of the European empire on planet Earth. When you watch this movie, you will easily understand why it was Malcolm's favorite movie. You can watch Nothing But a Man, the whole movie with Ivan Dixon. If you remember, Ivan Dixon played in Car Wash. You know, he was remember Abdullah Bill Dukes, and he was in Car Wash. He really helped, and he saved Bill Dukes from doing something stupid. You know, Ivan Dixon. I always admired him in roles he played. Ivan Dixon, Nothing But a Ivan Dixon and Abby Lincoln. Abby Lincoln, of course, is also a singer. Looks great in the movie. Nothing But a Man can be, you can watch the whole movie on YouTube. If you got the internet, you can go on YouTube, put in Nothing But a Man. You can watch the whole movie on YouTube. Affirm. I am a phenomenal African warrior scholar. Affirm. I am a phenomenal African warrior scholar. December 9th. Those who know themselves are not intimidated, those who know themselves are not intimidated by those who claim cultural supremacy or hegemony. Nana Beaufort, our great ancestor, Dr. Asa Hilliard, Nana Beaufort. Those seeking to be self-taught will be faced with the very difficult internal battles of defining academic success. We have been so well trained to think of measuring our intellect in terms of matriculating through the formal educational system that any other ways tends to pale by comparison. Basically, this is a spiritual issue because those who choose to educate themselves know that what they are doing is more beneficial to African people. And it's only through communing with the spirit that we can overcome this guilt over having received an African versus a Eurocentric education. Meditate on your divine righteous purpose and the corruptive nature of the compromised education until this is no longer an issue. Doing this while struggling to survive presents an even more trying challenge. You will struggle. You will be challenged. You will be forced to look deeply into your talents to find ways to counter the hostilities and satisfy your needs. You will have to deal with a world that fights against your African essence. Sadly, applying our energy in this way is so underrated among Africans in Western society. Yet it is a freedom unrivaled by anything the Negro world, that's right, the Negro world has to offer. I will teach you who you are and what you are not. It will teach you who you are and what you are not. And it will give you an unbelievable inner strength, that vital, unstoppable force that Europeans fear so intensely. Affirm, I know myself and I am not intimidated by those who fear my genius. Affirm, I know myself and I am not intimidated by those who fear my genius. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's coming to that time. And you know what time that is. That's right.
The joy as we sing of the love togetherness can surely bring emotion. Set the table at a strong, thankful for the first fruits of the year. Stay, I light a candle just for you. Come join the party, it's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of year. Red and yellow, black or white, y'all, it's all right. It's a celebration that should last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
All right.
Together there is so much we can do.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is much we can do.
All right. It's a celebration, remembering times of old. Tradition is the food that fills our souls. Yes, it does. So tell the children our future of all our hopes and dreams. Let's teach them well. Let's teach them well. Come join the party. It's a celebration. Karamu. At Kwanzaa time of the year, red and yellow, black or white, yo, it's all right. It's a celebration that will last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. All right.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Everybody.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do.
Happy, 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 happy Kwanzaa.
So many ways to show I love you.
See, I have faith in all that we do.
But we gotta stay together.
Just a few of the principles.
So much we can do.
Cause it's a
celebration. And even starts at 8, that's when we get praise to the man upstairs for another blessed day. I give hugs to my moms, my dad, and my sis. You smell that? I run to see what moms cook.
While we drink from the cup of togetherness, it's that part of the year that you don't want to miss. I give a gift from the heart so you know it's true. So recite a principle and tell me what it means to you.
Creativity.
Bargani, brothers and sisters, a Bargani. What's the news? And of course, the news is it's Kwanzaa time. That's right. It's Kwanzaa time. And we have a Kwanzaa program upcoming this Sunday. This Sunday, the pre-Kwanzaa celebration, which is sponsored by ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, and WADU of Georgia, which is the Worldwide African Diasporan Union. And the Pittsburgh Collaborative, the Pittsburgh community here in the Atlanta area, which is east of the metro area, the Pittsburgh community, just east of the metro area, of the Midtown area. And we're collaborating once again, a pre-Kwanzaa celebration for you this Sunday. And of course, it's going to be virtual. The in-person celebrations were outstanding. Each year, better and better, more attendance, just a lot of food that people would bring, potluck and the entertainment, the Watoto, the children, Watoto, you know, just beautiful, you know. But still, we're going to have it, and we're still going to do our best to bring it to you on this Sunday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., and they'll be drumming, entertainment, promoting. They'll be promoting businesses and preparing for the year of Ujamaa, cooperative economics. And believe me, we must practice in this tough time. We must practice Ujamaa, cooperative economics. We must spend money with each other. We must support one another. And the Ujamaa affirmation and the family fellowship and business owners will be there. That's going to be this Sunday. And here is the information that you need, because this is not going to be any cost. It's just that hopefully you have Zoom. If you don't have Zoom, please download Zoom to your computer, your other devices, your telephone, and so forth. And then you would put once you open up Zoom, you would put in the meeting ID, which is 834-6205-6943. That's 834-6205-6943. And the password is 903304. 903304. You got that information right there, brothers and sisters. And you have Zoom. You open up Zoom. You put in the ID. You put in the password. Bam! You're in the mix. You're right there with us on this Sunday from 3 to 5. The program starts off, of course, with some drumming and young people drumming, and then libation. And Brother Kwaku from Wadu will do the libation. You know, I do libations. And you know, one thing about libation, everybody does libation different because you can do libation different. There is no set way. As long as you're honoring the spirit of our ancestors, as long as you're honoring our people and getting that message, do libations the way you want to. I've known these three people that I know that do beautiful libations. One, of course, is my good friend, Brother Tejumala Oluboni, the master storyteller. Beautiful, elaborate libations. Brother Tolokumo Makunde, beautiful libations. And Brother Zianaki, Brother Tony Courtney back in Milwaukee out of Chicago. Great libations. And I took a little bit from them, and I came up with my libations about 30-something years ago. I've been doing libations since the early 90s, you know. And the bottom line is what you're doing is you're honoring our ancestors. You're honoring the spirit of who we are as African people. So libations is always necessary and always important. It's the first thing that you do when there's a gathering of our people. The African pledge that we're told to Mama Jackie, you know, I love Mama Jackie. She will lead the children in the African pledge. And then there'll be greetings from Wadu, ASCAC, the Pittsburgh community. And then a brief explanation of Kwanzaa and Umoja. Oh, that's me. I'll be doing an explanation of Kwanzaa and Umoja and the importance of it and so forth. So I got to make sure I'm ready to do that. And including intro of educational institutions that we have, Liberated Minds, AYA, Quilombo, all of them will talk about their educational institutions, how important it is, how important they are supported. But also, too, if you're listening, that your children, you can enroll your children in these institutions and give them a solid. To me, if you can start out putting your child first in a African-centered educational institution for a number of years to give him or her a solid foundation. So if he does or she does go to a public school, a private school, a parochial school, whatever, they will know who they are. They know what they will know why they're there. And they need to get along. Don't give a damn about them. Just want give me the information so I can continue on with my educational journey. And I know what this system is asking for and looking for, but I know who I am. There'll be entertainment with Brother Baba Tunde and Baba Akbar Imhotep. And I love the fact that Baba Akbar will be with us and another master storyteller. You know, Baba Akbar last year was not doing well. In fact, we had the Kwanzaa celebration and he wasn't able to attend. And I'm so glad that he will be there on Sunday. And I look forward to hearing him and seeing him, you know. Then we got the food vendors that, you know, we'll talk about who and what they have to offer to Green for Life, Chef Don Eats, and Green Love and other ones. Okay, my good brother Ross Kofi, the DJ Ross Kofi. Yeah, man, respect. Ross Kofi and Ross Marvin, good brothers in our community. The bookstores, I mentioned them, all three of them. Of course, I mentioned the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Once again, they're open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7 for you to buy gifts and books and Kwanzaa kits. They got the kits there. They got the Kanaras, the Mishuma Saba, the Kagumbe Chanyu Moja. They got, of course, they got Zawadi for the children. You know, so please go to the Shrine, but also to the Medu Bookstore. All of these bookstores, the Medu Bookstore, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, all three of them will be highlighted on this Sunday. And then the service, the venue, and those who have helped sponsor it, Bree Elder Words of Wisdom, and so forth. And then Mama Nabantu of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, she will lead our unity circle and the seven Harambes as we close the program out. So that's what's going to be happening this Sunday. This Sunday. Once again, I'm going to give you the information, okay? Please. Also, too, they have a number here to dial. So I would suggest that you, if you don't have Zoom, I'm not sure if you dial this number, you can listen to the program. I'm not sure. I don't know. But there's a number to dial this, which is 312. That's whose number, 312? Here we go. Well, 312-626-6799. That's 312-626-6799. But if you do have Zoom on your phone, hit, open up Zoom, put in the meeting ID, 834-6205-6943. That's 834-6205-6943. And the password is 903304. That's 903304. And you'll be able to check out the pre-Kwanzaa celebration that we have every year. And it's going to be this Sunday from 3 to 5. From 3 to 5. All right. We're going to talk about a very, very serious subject. And that is the mistreatment, the disrespect that is shown to our women and girls. And it is global. The disrespect, the mistreatment, the stereotyping, all of this that is shown to our sisters. I'll read the article after the break and engage in conversation. And, of course, you can join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking today about our sisters, our women. You know, one of the things that is vitally important as far as I am concerned is that African, American, African, whatever African that you are, remember, you know, I'm going to read this article and it's black everywhere. But when I train myself and train my mind, that when I see black, I see African. And I don't really like to use black and African interchangeably because, you know, there are many people who call themselves being black. They don't want to be African. They don't want nothing to do with African. And that's cool. If you want to be black, you go ahead and you be black. Because many people have chosen black to be just the opposite of being white. And in the white world, they want what white has. They want the jobs. They want the cars. They want to live here, you know. But they want to be black. So some of them have no problems living in a black enclave. Everybody black. The lawns are manicured and looking good. The house inside is immaculate. Everything is looking good. We black. But yet you don't own a damn thing. You still go to the European, the Caucasian, the white man, the cracker for your basic needs. Your furniture. Your appliances. Your remodeling, the building, all of that. Your food. Even your spirits. Your libations. Whatever word you want to use for your alcohol or your beverages. To me, man, everything that we do, everything that we use, everything that we need, should be provided by us, and we should look towards finding ways to get it for us, to get it from us. So, like I said, I've done that over the many years, you know, because I've done a program on words and the meaning of words. I'll do it again because we need to understand that. Because just like the word slave, who uses that word most often? The European, the Caucasian, Some slaves. You know about some slaves. And because we've been beat down with it 24/7, we say it. I mean, I'm watching Fathead Roland Martin, and he's calling us slaves. And I told our good brother Greg Kamathi Carr, I said, man, check that dude when he said that. You know, check his fathead ass. You know, stop calling our ancestors slaves. Stop calling us slaves. We're not slaves. We were captives. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We have never submitted. We have always resisted. We have always fought. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting. We're not slaves. The slaves. Lincoln freed the slaves. Free no damn body. So I'm saying is that we need to look at this words that we use, because words conjure up images. And of course, when you say the word slave, what do you picture? It's just like what they have done in on the continent with them damn dungeons, the castles, the Elmina Castle, Cape Coast Castle, Gory Island, the castle on Gory. They ain't no damn castles. They're chambers of horror. But see, that's what I'm saying. Because if I say to you, castle, you sure in the hell don't picture that. You probably picture the images of Disney, you know, but that's the conditioning. You picture Walt Disney, you know, then the Disney countdown, you know, that bull, you know, because that's what you're trained to do. And so instead of, you know, and I did, if you know me, you know, I'm always trying to check a man. And so when I went to Elmina dungeon and the brother, the tour guide mentioned castle, I didn't bust him out, you know, in front of everybody. I just mentioned to him, you know, as we were milling around, excuse me, my brother, you should not use the word castle. You should, you know, but I understand too. He said that, but I understand too. They looking for money from white folks. They're looking for money from Europeans. And so when the Europeans come there, they don't want to be too offensive. They don't want to say, and here's what a, you know. No, they don't want to do that. Oh, God. Tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. So we're going to talk about this mistreatment of our women and girls and the adverse effect that it has on us as a community, and why that 70%, you know, and even people talk about the days at the time when coming out of captivity, physical captivity, and even moving through the North and so forth, where we had intact families, even as like 50, 40 years ago, you know. But one thing we always must remember about families, that a lot of times it was sisters acquiescing to men. Because understand something, we live in an environment. If you're in an environment, it's hard for you not to be impacted by that environment. An environment that we live in is anti-woman, period. It is the culture that we live in. European culture is rape culture. It's violent culture. Look at their history. Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history of the European. Look at what he has done. Look at the things that he has done globally when he came. Not, you can go all the way back from the very beginning of Europeans coming out of that ice age, how they migrated out of Africa, got cut off by the ice age, and they mutated and changed and so forth. You can look at the first
civilizations of note, that being the Greeks, and how they were and what they did and how they really studied at the feet of African people. And what you see, the architecture, everything comes out of us. You can see the Romans after the Greeks. Then you can see the decline of Europe. And then you can see their so-called Renaissance. And then you can see what they have done when they venture out around the globe, taking everybody's stuff in the name of, and how they treat women. So when we talk about how we as African people treat women today, and not just here in the diaspora, and not just throughout the diaspora, on the continent. On the continent, the influence of colonialism and neocolonialism and Western ideology has had deleterious, well, I like that word, Brother Oshie, deleterious effects on our people. Just horrendous. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about that. And I'm going to do another Kwanzaa song, getting us ready for Kwanzaa. And I tell you, I love Kwanzaa. I've been celebrating Kwanzaa since the 80s. I can't say that I celebrated too much in the 70s, knew about it, but pretty much celebrating it seriously and promoting it since the 80s. And ironically, Milwaukee has had a history. Milwaukee has had a history of Kwanzaa, you know? It really has. It's had a history. And, that's a beautiful song right there. Man, I tell you, Steve Cobb and Shabin Duka, they're beautiful people. They really are. When we had the convention in Chicago, because they're out of Chicago, they put a cultural presentation on for us. Beautiful presentation, you know, because her voice is just outstanding. His name is Kwame now. I think he changed the name, Kwame, Brother Kwame, and just a lovely couple, just a beautiful couple. So I'm gonna try this. Hopefully, we can make this thing happen like this. And when we come back from that musical break, and I'll of course be playing. From this point going forward on the broadcast, the Kwanzaa songs and everything about that, getting us ready for that celebration as it approaches, and how it's going to be, you know, virtual. How it's going to be virtual, so forth. But hey, it is what it is. It is what it is, you know. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Rick Kwanzaa, cause it's a way to teach the principles that we must learn to reap the wealth of every seed we sow. The Nguzo Saba gives us values and a way to show we're building a future we can harvest so the world will know.
We come from the ancient world.
Make a mental list of all the things our freedom consists of. We share the purpose our people must unite for. Determine for ourselves what we choose to live or die for. We have the faith, the creative mind. It comes to us through our ancestral bloodline. Collective work, responsibility for our global economics and political destiny.
I want to say that I'm an African. I celebrate Kwanzaa because I'm an African.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Kwame, Brother Kwame and Shavinduka out of Chicago. Come together now. It's Kwanzaa time. From the Seven Principles CD from back in 96, I think it is. Wow. Man. Time flies, doesn't y'all? Yeah. Wish for no one. Time does fly. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then all these times are going to give, once again, our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Chahad Ahmed. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And on Thursdays, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Anya from 7 to 9 on Thursdays, from 7 to 9. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturday, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then again on Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, it's really kind of tough because, you know, if we understood how important it is that we have respect for each other, particularly our complement, which is our species have, you know, that men and women have respect for each other and work together to build strong families. And because you have strong families, you have strong community. I've said it many times. You know, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community, unfortunately, are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And if we have that, there would be better relationships between men and women in our community. We would be rearing our children. We wouldn't have all this dysfunction, all of this craziness. The most disrespected person in America is the African woman, the American African woman. The most unprotected person in America is the American African woman. The most neglected person in America is the American African woman. That's Malcolm X. Malcolm X stated that. And he's right. The most disrespected, the most unprotected is the American African woman. And it's sad because if we work together, we would do so much. We would do so much. For the longest time, society has normalized the disparagement and blatant vulgar attacks on American African women. From the adultification of our young girls, American African women being perceived as aggressive and vivacious, to demeaning portrayals of them as being sassy or angry, permeate throughout media. The dehumanization and exploitation of the American African woman dates back from antebellum America during the era of our captivity. American African women and girls were hypersexualized as they still are today. Enslaved or captured women and girls were prone to coercive sexual contact because they were labeled as property. Raping them was not prohibited. Male captive owners were not convicted of rape or attempted rape. American African women and girls, many of them often became pregnant. This was frequently utilized as proof that American African women had a ravenous sexual appetite. But it did not end there. Captive people were so stripped naked and nearly naked when they were put on the auctions, on the auction blocks. This reinforced this idea that Caucasian women were modest and pure, while African women were viewed as immodest and filthy. Furthermore, the feeling and emotional response of American African women and girls are not seen as valid. American African women and girls are routinely seen as unnecessarily loud, pernicious, threatening, and violent.
They aren't rightfully allowed to be angry and express their emotions just as much as their Caucasian counterparts. These negative stereotypes stem from early 19th century minstrel shows, which were predominantly an all-Caucasian cast. In those shows, American Africans were badly ridiculed. Jezebel characters were light-skinned, unattractive, hypersexual, greedy, and unfaithful. Mammies were chubby, grotesque, and devoted caregivers of Caucasian children, but there was neglect of their own children. To top it off, those intolerable women yelled at their husbands and were merciless, loud, and impolite. This betrayal of American African women and girls as sexually lewd, aggressive, and domineering continued through the Reconstruction, Jim Crow, and the Civil Rights era. And unfortunately, today, modern media and society continue to ensure that American African women and girls are not respected or treated with value or honor. On top of the racism, American African women continue to endure that they are again victims in their own community. Sexual harassment, domestic violence, and sexual assaults are often issues women consistently experience. Studies show that 80% of American African women are sexually assaulted by American African men. 80% of those sisters who are sexually assaulted, and a lot of times people they know. The majority of the victims stated that the attackers were by someone they knew, such as a family member or a family friend. Under these dire so-called friends, under these dire situations, American African women and girls are subject to not report their attackers because family members believe it will inflict shame and then be seen as betrayal. Yeah, you're betraying the sister who's been attacked, who's been violently attacked. You're betraying her. This goes back to the assumptions and stereotypes in which American African women and girls viewed as less innocent and more adult-like. The girls are less innocent and more adult-like compared to their Caucasian counterparts, often being perceived as they are asking for sex merely by the way they act and the way they dress. Historians say these false assumptions originated from the 17th centuries when Europeans entered Africa and were astonished by how African women dressed. You know, I seen another picture of a group of Arab. It's a recent picture of American African women, and of course they have their breasts out. You know, the waist beads, and they're beautiful. You know, understand they were in a tropic area. Why did they need clothing to that extent? You know, but it was, of course, this Christian mindset of shame of the biarch, sickening. When African women were later in captivity in America, captive owners justified raping them by asserting American African women had a ravenous sexual appetite. Unfortunately, this same way of thinking is why many American African women and girls perpetually fall victim to rape and sexual harassment and assault today. Today, a week after being reported missing, a 19-year-old Black Lives Matter activist, Sister Osulo, was found dead in Tallahassee, Florida. Osulo initially went missing on June 6th after tweeting she had been sexually assaulted at 5:30 a.m. that day. Aaron Glee, Jr., an American African man, was arrested as a suspect. Glee Jr. eventually confessed to murdering Victoria Sims, a 75-year-old community volunteer in Sula, to avoid being apprehended for sexually assaulting her. Sexual violence is a major crisis for American African women and girls in America. According to the American Psychological Association, 1 out of 4, 25% of American African girls will be sexually abused before the age of 18. 25%, 1 out of 4, will be sexually abused before the age of 18. 1 out of 5 women are survivors of rape. There'll be survivors of rape. 46% of American African women
One out of five are survivors. 40 to 60% of American African women report being forced to partake in coercive sexual interactions by the age of 18. The Institute for Women Policy Research reported over 20% of American African women are raped during the course of their lives, a higher rate compared to women of other cultures. American African women, 2.5 times more likely to be murdered by men compared to Caucasian women. And 9 out of 10 American African females knew their killer. 9 out of 10, they know. While protesting in the street, I'm fighting for the rights of my community. While navigating my community, I'm fighting to be loved. What more do black women have to sacrifice to be loved by black men, to be seen as worthy of fighting for? We have given everything. We have you given in, what have you given in return, beloved? I cannot fight for you and fight against you. I cannot honor your spirit while you diminish me. Bethany Bryant. To top off these harrowing statistics, American African women have the highest homicide rate in America. Their killings are frequently overlooked, even when video documentation, the gruesome attacks of killing an American African woman do not incite as much media exposure and outrage as deaths of American African men, as we saw in the case of Louisville resident Breonna Taylor, compared to the uproar after the death of George Floyd. The questions remain: who should protect American African women and girls if those in their own community consistently fail them? Who can American African women and girls reach out to for protection if those who should be protecting them aren't doing their job? This culture of misogyny must be confronted. The deeply rooted stereotypes against American African women and girls must be tackled and put to an end. Not doing so will continue to be detrimental to the next generation of American African women and girls. American African women show up for everything, but who is really out here protecting American African women and girls? Kayla Graves. It's 2020, soon to be 2021 by the Gregorian calendar. It's the year 6,252 by the Kemetic calendar, the oldest calendar in the world, which we created. In the year 2020, the time to look out for well-being of American African women and girls is long overdue. Listen to the cries and the struggles of American African women and girls. Look out for them. Believe their stories. When American African men and boys fall victim to police brutality, incarceration, and systematic racism, American African women consistently lead the resistance to fight and to advocate for them. They do. They do. Our sisters are there for us, brother. Putting their safety and the well-being behind, it's time American African men step up and do the same. It's been past time. We need each other. It is our natural complement. End misogyny and the dehumanization and exploitation of American African women and girls by actively practicing the following. Stop feeding into stereotypes of our sisters. Stop it. Stop feeding into the stereotypes. Stop degrading our women and girls. Do not make vulgar jokes or comments about American African women and girls, such as their physical appearance and their features, experiences, and their trauma. The sympathy, the empathy, the caring, the love, the nurturing should be for them from us. For all that they have done. stop hypersexualizing our sisters. They are human beings. They are human. But see, understand something. Urugu, the European, the Caucasian, everything to him is object. They objectify everything. So it is not, she ain't no female. She ain't no woman. She's a sex object. And we unfortunately follow suit. If you see American African women, girls being disrespected, stand up for them, fight for them, support them, say it, protect them. Treat American African women and girls you don't know as if they're your own relatives, they're your own female family, because they are, we are family. Treat them when you see them. I know that some of them will be out there. The way they look, the way they dress, it is shameful. But understand, the mind that created that is not ours. Understand how they, the stuff that they will go through. Brothers and sisters, this is serious. Got a caller? Caller 602. Good afternoon.
Oh, I'm just listening, brother. Because
all right.
The all right. Muslim with the stream, you know, they keep buffering.
Right.
So I
got okay.
Kind of bang. All right.
All right, Brother Marcus. Thank you, brother, for listening. Appreciate you. And appreciate all those who listen, who call and listen. I got three of them on the thing, just want to listen, and that's cool. Whatever you want to do, if you want to comment, of course, if you're on, just hit pound and that'll let you in. And I know you want to be in and I'll get to comment. But, you know, what I'm dealing with today is probably the most serious subject. And I think that all of the subject I try to deal with are serious to the extent that they need to be discussed. They need to be analyzed. They need to look at what we can do to correct, to change, or to embellish, or to make better, whatever it is that we have to do. Whatever it is that we have to do. Because it doesn't look good. Let's be real. It does not look good for American Africans, Africans period, Africans in the diaspora, Africans on the continent. One thing I try to do on this program is to be honest and factual. I try to give the perspective that is ours, an African-centered perspective. That's why the program's called that. Trying to, you know, it's not my opinion. I don't give my opinion because my opinion is profane. I don't give my opinion. I give to this listening audience and to the brothers and sisters a African perspective based on scholarly research by our scholars, our history. And I ain't talking about the ones, the Europeans, or the ones that have been so overwhelmed by Europeans, all those Negroes. No, I'm talking about our scholars, our warrior scholars. I'm talking about Dr. John Henry Clark. I'm talking about Nana Beaufort, Dr. Asa Hilliard. I'm talking about Francis Chris Welsing. I'm talking about our scholars, ancestors, as well as contemporary, Marimba Ani, and many others. Baba Baruti. That's right. Baba Mwalimu Baruti. I'm talking about ours. Men and women who fight for us. Men and women in our history without foundation money, without grant money. Like Brother Renoco, he depends on people like myself who donate to him because of the work that he's doing on behalf of our people. Primary research. He has documented the presence of African people globally, and he is a great lover of African women. Respectfully.
That's what I'm talking about. Those are the people that I would quote. Those are the people that I respect and admire. Like a Drusilla Dungy Houston. In 1926, the same year that Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week in 1926. Started Negro History Week in February. Drusilla Dungy Houston wrote her book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. And she has a quote that is so dynamic and so impactful. She says, out of ethnology, geology, paleontology, and so forth, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that not even Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our culture can dare not refute. How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? And I maintain and I say to you that we're still utterly ignorant of the past. Because of how we don't understand the link to our history as the foundation. That's why I'm saying at this pre-Kwanzaa celebration this Sunday at the educational institutions of, Quilombo and Liberated Minds and so forth, AYA, those institutions need to be supported. We must educate our young people at the youngest of age and to instill in them the knowledge of self. So therefore, whatever they see on TV, whatever they hear on the radio, whatever they see on videos, whatever the hell that they see, because of that solid foundation, they know that ain't me. That ain't us. Europeans can't tell them sugar, honey, iced tea. Because they know. They know. I read that in Enye Sesim today. That's the beauty of the Enye Sesim. It seems like whenever I'm going to have a topic, and believe me, brothers and sisters, I read the Enye Sesim the day of. I don't read it days before and think, oh, that might be something good to read. No, I just go day by day, whatever it is. I did the day before, the day after, and then on Friday, I do Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I can come back on Monday, do Sunday and Monday. And then sometimes when I'm, over the years, I've been gone, sometimes for a week or two or more, whatever. And then I would come back and then make a program. That's right. Make a program of Enye Sesim, because there's just a lot of information and good quotes. And of course, Baba Baruti's narratives. And they're definitely there for us to engage in dialogue. Because what's so important for us at this stage, because I've been throwing out these warnings and I will continue to throw out these warnings, that if we do not, just like Kwame Nkrumah, he said years after he gave that speech of freedom, he said, if we do not stop this haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves, we will be subject to a far greater colonialism than we had suffered from heretofore. Look at the continent. He was on point. He was on point. The most important thing that the continent could have done at that time was put all petty differences aside, understanding that, yes, if you want to keep hold of your tribal traditions, you can do that. But what's most important, what's vitally important, is that we are African number one, and that everything on the continent is there for the benefit of all of us as Africans. And that anywhere on the continent that Africans are not doing well, we will mobilize and come there and make sure that they will hold.
We will take care of the continent. We will manage the continent. We will manage the lands. We will make sure that those migrations of animals maintain. We will make sure that the air is clean and make sure. Oh, yeah. It is seriously frustrating, particularly today when you see conflicts. You see conflicts going on the continent. When you see the fact that the United Snakes has, I don't know how many bases, military bases on the continent. AFRICOM, the Europeans, the Chinese. The Chinese, I can't remember which country it was, built them something they didn't pay. They took it over and then they built a military force. There's no place outside of the continent that Africans have a military base. No place. No country. But yet, France and Britain and Indians have a piece of Africa. And Africa has been, it is now, it will continue to be the richest continent on the planet. When you look at that, and you know, hey, I'm not going to dispute the map of Pangaea. I don't know, but this is what the geologists, anthropologists, archaeologists say. That was one huge landmass. And as it broke away because of the tectonic plates and all this stuff, and as it broke away, you could see in the middle was Africa. And that to me is why Africa is the richest in resources on this continent. Many countries that are in Africa, want Africa, have no resources. They are relying on Africa. And if it were not for Africa, like France and a few other European countries, actually Europe itself, because Europe has no resources. Britain, you know, I have, you know, deep disdain for the British and for the French. You know, I'm serious. In fact, when they had that situation in France, that terrorist attack, and all these folks here, Negroes, and I shouldn't say that because I think some of them not understanding. I believe many of them did not understand who France really is, you know. But they had all kind of sympathy. They used the on their Facebook pages, the French colors, the watermark, you know. Not understanding how the French have been, what they have done in Haiti, the fact of how the United States and Britain put so much pressure on Haiti, on Haiti, for them to repay, to pay. They put so much pressure on Haiti to pay reparations. They paid reparations to France. Haiti did. And how England paid reparations to the British. England paid, you know, for those who lost in the Caribbean and Jamaica and so forth, who lost property, the human property as well as the mineral and land property. I'm saying that in this kind of system, what we are experiencing, it is ludicrous for us to believe that some way, somehow, that we can appeal to a people who have no morals. They are amoral. But yet we continue to use moral persuasion on a people who are amoral. Damn it, today. Once again, we need to look at
the history and the relationship between us as African and Europeans. And look at it objectively. Look at it honestly. And understand that that relationship has been, well, so one-sided, never being reciprocal. They are takers. And we are givers. We are givers by our nature. We gave the world. When people came to sit at our feet, we didn't kick their ass to the curb. No, we welcomed them. Just like Dr. Sheikh Andre Diop said, there's two cradles of human development, a northern cradle and a southern cradle. We are the southern cradle. And in that cradle, we were xenophilic. That means that we loved humanity. We were not fearful of strangers like the European was. We're not selfish and greedy like the European is. We're not hateful and mean-spirited like the, just like Donald ass Trump is going to kill those five people who are on death row. He is going to kill them. And he's the only one that can stop it. But he's going to do it because why? Black folks didn't vote for him. Look at my African American. Look at my African American over there. I'm the least most racist person. I'm going to tell you. Sometimes I see dude, I want to bust him in the face. I don't know about you. But I want to hit dude in the face so bad. Just like haul out, bam. A nice straight right hand. No haymaker. A nice straight right hand. You know? I'm right-handed. If I was left-handed, I'm a straight left hand, you know. No hook, no uppercut, just a one where you turn your body. You know, I used to box when I was a kid, you know. And, you know, and I knew how to throw left hooks, right hands, jab, right hand, hook, all of that. Combination, you know. So I knew if I could just get it, and bing! Oh, man. He is going to kill them. He's going to put them to death. The one young man who has judges and even the district attorney. I mean, so many people who are saying, please don't do this. Please don't put this man to death. He does not deserve this. And is being incarcerated for over, I think, 30, almost 30 years, I believe, because he went in there as a teenager. He's been modeled. He's going to do it. He's evil and mean-spirited. I'm going to tell you, getting off into a little bit of this politics bull, the Republican Party, to me, is damned. They have stuck. But there should be no way in hell Kelly Longhead-ass Heifer, Leffler, you know, because she has so much money. She paid to get that Senate position, that appointment from Kemp, who is a crook himself, who purged the rolls of many potential voters, a lot of them us, so he could win the election against Stacey Abrams. And to me, he was in charge of the election. There should be, once again, there is no ethics. There is no honesty. He's the person. He's the Secretary of State. He's in charge of the damn election. How can you be in charge of the election and you running? That's way beyond a hint of impropriety. That's all out bull. That's stuff straight up. He's in charge of the election. Well, hell, if you're in charge of the election, well, guess who's going to win? Exactly. He was in charge of the election. There should be something that says that a person who is in charge of the election, if you're Secretary of State, you can run for governor, but you have to give up that position. You can have nothing to do with that position. It's just like because of what happened with Trump, there should be some stipulations for running for president. Number one, you must show your taxes. At least 3 years of your taxes.
I knew that man wasn't going to show his taxes. And then, of course, when it came out last year. And see, that's the thing. Many of us didn't understand that, damn, he said that? That he could be on Fifth Avenue and he could shoot somebody? And these fools would still support him? Damn, I don't believe that. Yeah. Right. Because that's how foolish these people are. These people are so, they are constantly the majority of the Republicans and the majority of the, and the reason I'm saying that because the Republican legislators in many states, in those so-called swing states, a lot of those Republicans are still believing that he won and that there was some shenanigans and chicanery and some skullduggery done to the election in those states of Wisconsin and Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Probably could throw Arizona in there too, because they have been a swing state for a long time. In fact, what's interesting to me, I just saw on YouTube some people talking about they're about to drop a bomb, not a literal bomb, of tremendous information about this election right now, today, tomorrow, this weekend, whatever. But everything that I've seen on the national news, and I have to watch the news because I do a radio program. I got to need to know what the hell's going on so I can try to inform the listeners and brothers and sisters that listen wherever about what's going on, at least from my perspective. Once again, I don't give you my opinion, you know. And you know, what I've seen is that it's a foregone conclusion. The election is what it is. Trump's mindset is, I got 5 million more votes. So I had to win. I got 5 million more votes than I got the election. Not taking into account that millions and millions of more people voted. Many of the people 4 years ago who were 15, now they're 18, they can vote. And many of the people in 2016 who were 17, in 2017 they were 18, and so forth. You understand what I'm saying? Those more and more people were eligible to vote, and they did. Those millennials came out and vote. They weren't going to vote for don't damn Donald Trump. And then, of course, he himself, Trump is, this is what he did. He said, don't do it. Don't vote by mail. It's a fraud. Don't do it. Don't early vote. He even said, vote by mail and then come and vote just to see, just to make sure. He told, basically he's saying to his folks, vote twice, knowing that's illegal. Vote by mail. A million ballots has been requested in this state, Georgia. And it's deep because really, I mean, I could give less than a rat's ass, brothers and sisters. I think y'all know that if you listen to this program or you know me, you know. But there's no doubt that if Joe Biden is to do anything, he needs Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff to win against Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. That's bottom line. And if you've seen the commercials are sickening. I'd be glad when this shit is, I mean, when this stuff is over. I'd be glad when this sugar honey iced tea is over. I'm serious. Because this is almost a year of political advertisement. And now, because of the amount of money involved, the tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, soon as there's a commercial time, there is nothing but these political commercials on all of these channels. Nothing but. And of course, most of it is
almost all of it particularly, are lies, are distortions, are out of context. I mean, I love Jeremiah's piece on Goddamn America. It's great. But when you only hear that and you are Caucasian, you're incensed that Raphael Warnock supports a man like, it's the same thing that happened. They did the same thing with Barack. That's why they had to distance. Barack had to distance himself from Jeremiah Wright, because these crackers can't handle the truth. They can't. They are liars. They are consistent liars. They are liars, and the truth ain't in them. Liars. Got about 15 more minutes before the program's over. Anybody want to give a call in? 215-490-9832. Talk about anything you want to talk about. Basically, I had a good number of announcements and played some Kwanzaa. Got the Kwanzaa presentation coming up. I'm going to announce that before the program is over again. And, of course, I talked about our sisters. I talked about the love that we should have for those who stood behind us. In fact, that's a good movie, Nothing But a Man, to show the love between a man, an African man, and an African woman. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. Nothing But a Man. Ivan Dixon and Abby Lincoln. You know. So, if they win, then Biden can do something, just like Barack had that advantage when he came in. He had the Senate, he had the House in 08, but in 010, the so-called Tea Party and all those reactionary Caucasians, you know, all those Caucasians who who feel that we're losing it. Because this is theirs, brothers and sisters. That's what I'm trying to get us to understand. This is theirs. They took this. They're firmly entrenched. They have eminent domain. That's why, as I got older, understanding that the idea of Rosewood, Tulsa, the Republic of New Africa, the Nation of Islam, Wahhabian Nation, all of them, those things do not and cannot work here in America on this soil, because you have Caucasians who are selfish and greedy and envious and mean-spirited and hateful and demons, and they will destroy your stuff. They will find ways. And now, because of the technology, you know, I've been getting a lot of information on, of course, the virus, the vaccines, about what they're going to do with the vaccine. They never said what's in the vaccines. I know, and you know, I'm not taking the vaccine, but I got to come up and find a way, because I want to get out of this damn country, for me to fly. It may come to a pass that if you want to fly, period, whether it's domestic or international, you're going to have the vaccine. See if I can find somebody giving bootleg, giving forged certificates of you had the vaccine. Because, you know, when I went to Ghana last year, you know, I had to get a yellow fever vaccine. Had to take malaria pills. You know, talking with a sister, she said she knows someone that can help with malaria. You know, so you don't have to buy them pills. And these medications, they're not inexpensive if you want to go. It's not like it's $10 to get us. No, it's hundreds of dollars. It's hundreds of dollars. And no, your insurance won't pay for them. Unless, of course, you got a better insurance probably have a better insurance, of course, than I do. You know, I got Medicare, Medicaid, and retirement, United Healthcare, which I hate, you know. So you may need that, you know, to get up out of here, because we don't have, well, we have Ethiopian Airlines. I flew to Africa last time on Ethiopian Airlines, you know, enjoyed it. And in fact, the problem with that was, instead of going right into Accra, had you go to Togo. You had to go to Togo and then, you know, get off the plane. You know, they would take your baggage, but you had to get off the plane and go through customs again, go through that whole process again, you know, to go to Ghana, you know. Got a caller. Is that my good brother from the over the pond?
Yes, it is, sir. How are you doing, Brother Ochi? How are things?
Doing well, Brother Paul. I'm doing well. Because now we just come up unknown. I used to have you, you know, but now you just come up unknown so much. So if I say, who's that unknown, you know who I'm talking about.
Well, you know, it depends on whether I'm using my own phone
or okay.
From the...
I hear you.
The system I'm on.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Listen, man.
But anyway, you know, I'm glad you just raised the... issue with the vaccine. You
yeah.
Know,
Listen, hold on. You have been sending me some really good stuff, brother. I was going to say shit, but you have been sending me some really good sugar honey iced tea, brother. And I want to thank you for that. Go ahead, Paul.
Listen, Brother Ochi, let me tell you this. Yeah. I think in my nature, I've always been one to try and help people in my nature. You know, I just had it since
yeah.
I was
Same
as
here.
I know myself. Yeah. I've always just felt the need, you know, and I think some of us can see things with like early warning systems. Sometimes we see things more clearly than others see it. Some of us are able to connect the dots better than others can see it, you know. And the worst thing some of us do when we see these things long time ago, we convince ourselves that we're not seeing what we're seeing.
Because right.
There's a little bit of fear that comes with it. You know what I mean? And there's a little bit of, well, I've gone past the stage of being wrong, because if I'm wrong, then it's good. It's good if I'm wrong. But sometimes you know you're not wrong. You just know you're not wrong. You understand? And that, to me, is the most worrying thing. And I've been sharing this information with all my family and everybody close, and I, you know, whether people want to hear it or not. This mm-hmm. is so absolutely real. You understand?
Yes.
And, you know, you have knowledges of. I remember we had a conversation with Brother Jay, and he Brother Wes phoned up, and he was talking about nanotechnology, yeah. And Brother Jay was saying, "Well, where's the evidence is suggesting that it was some sort of conspiracy and whatnot?" Yeah. Well, I'm in IT, and I absolutely know unreservedly that they have this technology, and I've known for a long time. The reason why I've known, because I take an interest in it. I read all about it for years, the last 10, 15 years. So when people are hearing these things for the first time, oh, it's new to them. It sounds like some conspiracy to them because they've never heard it before. But when you're in it and you've been reading it, you've been watching the process, you've been seeing it, you've been seeing it from the beginning, how they've taken steps, and then now you know 100%. You know, even though that I'm in it, you know, certain things I see, I still can't believe it. I'm like, wow, look where we are. So when you know, it's like,
Paul? Brother Paul? Oh, man. Brother Paul, are you
power
there?
Usually.
Brother Paul, you were cut off. Go ahead and make your point.
Yeah, my point is that, you know, what I'm saying is that, you know, you see the progress of things, yeah? And right now, here today, this is so real. So the reality of it is this. Either you're going to succumb, or you're not going to succumb. And if you're not going to succumb, you're going to have to put up a struggle.
That's right.
You're going to have to put
That's
up
right.
a fight.
That's right.
That's where we are at.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, this is not to frighten people, because right now in England, and I've always said that this place, we have the Tavistock Institute here. It's the central is here. And for those who study that institution, that institution is responsible for the overthrowing countries from the Bolshevik Revolution. When those people, the Bolsheviks, overthrew the USSR, the first time it ever happened in history, a group of people overthrew a whole country. Yeah. And if you study that history, yeah, the plan came out of the Tavistock Institute, right? They've been running countries. The educational plan in right there in your country that comes out of the Tavistock Institute. Mental health, the whole idea about mental health comes out of the Tavistock Institute, right? Margaret Sanger, she gets her instructions from the Tavistock Institute. That's where these people came from, right? And most people don't know this. The Council for Foreign Affairs, which runs all the politics and foreign, comes out of the Tavistock Institute. Yeah, so the point I'm trying, and I will just cement it.
Yeah, that institute is world, in Europeans, period, based on world domination and control of the planet. And they'll do
with any. Controlling the narrative.
Exactly. Everything that you see, everything that you hear, and controlling everything that you do.
Right up until this point in time, right? This country, people keep talking about Billy Go Gates, right? But this country, UK, spent the most, four times the amount of money on vaccines than Billy Go Gates did, okay? Mm-hmm. He's just a diversion. These people have been working with him, right, to bring this thing around the globe. The governments you see around the world are sad.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe, just like as you stated, that you're going to see a lot of people who are going to die from this vaccine.
And if anybody goes online and look at the history of Pfizer, the history of these people, they run out of Nigeria for killing off hundreds of thousands of people, right? The Nigerian government got paid out millions from this company, Pfizer, right? And they have a terrible track record of killing people. Right, and this idiot prime minister we've got are telling us that we need is employed this company, and they're rolling out vaccines from yesterday. This is the reality of it.
Yeah.
So I can foresee them making it mandatory. Everybody's saying whether they're going to make it mandatory or not. Of course they are. They're going to try. They're going to try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And that's when the battle lines are going to be drawn, because there's a lot of people who have woken up to this and are not going to take this nonsense and have these crazy Frankenstein particles put in their body, to genetically modify them, because that's what they're trying to do, genetically modify. And once you're genetically modified, you're no longer human again. Because anything which comes from nature, these people can't patent, by the way. Anything which is part of nature, by law, you can't patent it. But if you can genetically modify it, you can
patent
claim it.
Right, you can patent it.
So they're trying to make slaves of the human race again.
Yeah.
Okay, that is the whole objective behind this. So this is real. This is not. This is a conspiracy, but it is not a theory. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely real. It is a conspiracy, but it's not a theory. And by the way, the term conspiracy theory was coined by the CIA in 1967 to stop people looking into the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. Okay, to label them and discredit them. And make them seem that, you know, a thing which they can't see, like the Twin Towers, right? All of a sudden, a third tower just drops miraculously.
Yeah. I tell you, hey, Paul, you know that one. That one's my main one. That, because, I mean, has a firefighter and somebody who has an idea what's supposed to happen. That, to me, is the most blatant, the most in-your-face, is the most grotesque, is the most bold of all of this madness to do what they did. And the whole bottom line was to make sure that they could suspend your freedoms. They could do whatever they want in the name of national security. You know?
Absolutely, Baba Ochi, absolutely. And I know there's not much time, so I'm going to say this very quickly, yeah? We, the first world people of the planet, right, are the ones who should be screaming from the highest pulpit, right? SOS. The reason being is because we have the ones who have been injected with syphilis.
Yeah.
Those blacks in America were injected by these crazy, psychopathic, narcissistic psychopaths with syphilis and told it was for their benefit. So we know what these people are about. So for those black-faced people who are asking, we need to speak to the experts, we need to speak to this, they better bloody wake up quickly. Yeah,
right.
Because the record, if you go into a court, the first thing they ask is your history. Now, if you ever heard history of robbing, raping and killing, it's not likely you're going to get off, are you? But these people have a history of robbing, raping, killing and lying and murdering people genetically off the planet. So if you think anything they're saying is true, if you're a damn idiot.
Right. Right on.
So, bruv, I'm not here to mix words and play with people and big friends. This is a very serious time. And
it's life or death,
you
brother.
You better wake up.
It's life or death. It's real. So I appreciate you.
It's
you know
very
that.
Real.
Yep, I appreciate you. You know that. So I thank you, Brother Paul. My time,
and
of course, is
thank you for allowing me to speak like
always,
that, Brother Ochi. It's a beautiful thing.
Always.
Take care and just stay safe.
You too, brother. You too. That's my good brother, Brother Paul, from over across the pond, man. And like I say, he's been sending me some really good stuff, and I appreciate it. Once again, I'm going to mention the Kwanzaa. I'll mention it again on Friday. The pre-Kwanzaa celebration sponsored by ASCAC and WADU and the Pittsburgh Collaborative is going to be this Sunday, the 13th, from 3 to 5. This Sunday, you download Zoom. You got Zoom on your computer. On your mobile devices, on your cell phone, you got Zoom. You hit Zoom, then you put in the meeting ID, which is 834-6205-6943. That's once again, 834-6205-6943. And then you'll put in the password, which is 903-304. 903-304. Okay? And then you'll be able to participate. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they shown the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. A great day. Be safe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.